Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone. We had a beautiful worship service this morning.
Yes,
God is on the throne. God is on the throne. Hallelujah.
Always, always.
Praise God. And, you know, the funny thing, if you've been forgiven and you've been redeemed, the song, the first one, that has been playing in my spirit for over 2 weeks. It's just been in my spirit. And when I heard it, I said, oh, Lord, you're just, you're just too much to me. He's just too much. It's like a confirmation, you know? Praise God. I've been putting it on, and at night it's been just reverberating. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Worship Him. Amen. That's what He wants us to do. Worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, today we're going to continue with the book of Daniel, and it is the last chapter, chapter 12. Amen. So if you're not there, go to Daniel chapter 12. Amen. And I want you to know that this prophecy was the prophecies, you know, 10, 11, 12, you know, the prophecy that was given to Daniel was given in either 535 or 534 B.C., okay? So I want you to bear that in mind. Okay, so let's start with a verse. The first verse in Daniel chapter 12, and as usual, this is a teaching, so I will take readers because that helps me, amen, with my breath. So if you have, all I want you to read is verse 1, amen?
Amen. I'm there. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book.
Amen. Hallelujah. The book. Amen. The book. Hallelujah. Written in the book. Your name written in the book. Yes. Amen. The Holy Spirit witnesses to you that your name is written in the book. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. So what do we have here? We have Michael. So who is Michael? Michael is an archangel.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And he is the angel that has been appointed to be over the people of Israel. Amen. He is the protector angel over Israel. He is an archangel. And, you know, if you go to Jude 9, you will see where he is called an archangel. So if you ever wonder why is somebody called an archangel, it's right there in the scripture, and in Daniel 10:13, he's called chief prince. Amen? So you know that he's up there. He is a high angel up there. Amen? And he is the protector angel over the nation of Israel. God has appointed him as such. Amen? And so, when it says Michael shall, you know, Michael stand up, right? Michael shall stand up. That points to divine intervention. Amen? That's what that points to, divine intervention. Amen. Hallelujah. God raises him up to defend the people of Israel. Those choose, amen, not because they were perfect, not because they got out of line continuously, not because he called them a stubborn people, a stiff-necked people, but because he chose them because of Abraham, amen? Now, it says there shall be a time of trouble, amen? Such as never was since there was a nation. So what time of trouble is mm-hmm. he alluding to? The tribulation, right? He's alluding to the tribulation. This is going to be a time such as never was. Amen. You know, look, and Jesus echoes it in Matthew 24:21. And you can go there. Go to Matthew 24:21 and let me get my Bible. Hallelujah. Matthew 24:21. If you have it, read it. Matthew 24. I'm trying to find it myself. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen, have not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. Do you see the connection?
Mm-hmm.
You see the connection? In Daniel, which is Old Testament, right? He says, such as there has never been. You know, and again, Jesus in Matthew says the same thing. There's going to become a time such as never been. So that is pointing to the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let's go. And what does it say? And at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who was found in the book. So God is telling Daniel that his people, the Israelites, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, Jacob had 12 sons, amen? They became known as the nation of Israel. He says, your people shall be delivered, amen? So today you see a secular Jewish nation, because most of the Jews will tell you, except for the Orthodox and the Hasidic and all those Jews, most of the Jews in Israel are secular. Amen? But God has promised deliverance. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And we know deliverance only comes through Jesus, right?
That's right.
So there is something coming up there in the future for this nation. Amen? Let's go to... Well, you know what? Let me, let's read this. In Romans 11:25-27. Okay? Romans 11:25. I'm going to read it for you in the interest of time. Here's what God says through Paul, right? Paul's letter to the Romans. Chapter 11:25-27. Always write them down so you can review later. Now, here's what the word is saying. Lest you be wise in your own sight. I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery. Brothers, a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish the ungodliness of Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Israel is in a sinful state. Amen. We can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, but God says that deliverance will come. But you have to realize, this deliverance is going to come in the end.
Right.
In the end.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, I want you to bear that in mind. Now, let's go to verse 2. Amen. Let's read verse 2. Anyone willing to read verse 2?
Verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Wow, right? Wow. Wow, some to shame and everlasting contempt. So what is this speaking of? Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth, right? Okay, so let's look at it. we know that there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, right? Where those that are asleep on the earth, those that are dead in Christ, pre-tribulation, right? Pre-trib, you get that? Before the tribulation, mm-hmm. we believe there's going to be a rapture, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we believe?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Somebody
yes.
Say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There's yes, going to yes. be a rapture. And that those who have died in Christ, whether they're in the sea, eaten up by sharks, or whatever, whether in the dust of the earth, turned into ashes, whatever, God is going to raise them up. Amen? In the first rapture. And he's going to put body and soul and spirit together and transform into a glorified body.
Amen.
People have said, oh, come on, you're all ashes and bones. And what do you mean, body? Well, if we believe in God, and we believe in a virgin birth, and we believe in creation, mm-hmm. God can do whatever he wants to do. And I had this conversation with a friend of Lizette, when after our sister Dorcas passed away. And one of Lizette's friends, her neighbors, came over. Elsie passed away. One of Lizette's neighbors came over because I had ministered at my sister's funeral, and she said, I'm so perplexed. I'm so confused. I mean, we cremated such and such and such and such. What do you mean the body's going to come up from the grave?
Mm.
They're ashes. There's no body. Mm. And I explained to her, you know, God is God. God who created that body. We'll put that body back together and turn it into a glorified body. Amen? Mm. So that's the first resurrection. You see, the reason I'm alluding to that is because he said, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, right? Mm-hmm. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting condemnation. Well, so that's a pre-trip. But the Bible speaks of a first resurrection. It's not alluding to that resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wanted to clarify this. The first resurrection is, let's read the word, I'll show you. It's during the tribulation. You know that during the tribulation, there are going to be souls that are going to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. You do know that, right?
Amen.
That's why you've got to keep speaking to your children and loved ones
mm-hmm.
and giving them the word. Those that don't commit now, they can take that word and be saved during the trip. So here's what it says in Revelation 20, 4 to 6. Write it down. It says, then I saw thrones. And seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or its image. So this is during the tribulation, right? And mm-hmm. had not received its mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is a resurrection when God comes to judge after the tribulation. Now they're dead, but he raises them up. He resurrects them to come into the millennium. Isn't that
mm-hmm.
awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome? So that's what the Bible calls the first resurrection. Mm-hmm. Now here's the second resurrection, which is the great white throne judgment. It's in Revelation 20, verses 12 to 13. It says, and I saw the dead, great and small. Now, this is the dead. Remember that the saved have already been resurrected, right? During the pre-trib and during the first resurrection. So, you know what dead he's speaking of. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the book, in the books, according to what they have done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were each judged, each one of them according to what they have done. That's the second resurrection, the resurrection of the dead. Remember, we are not dead. We are alive. We are in the millennium, going into the millennium. Amen. This is the second death. Amen.
The second revelation.
The second death after the millennium. This is after the millennium. So this is the second, resurrection. Amen. Where the dead, this is a great white throne judgment. So I wanted you to see that, like the word said, many of those who sleep, all right, some to will awaken to everlasting life, some to everlasting damnation. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Excuse me, you can find all of this in the chat if you missed the chapters and verses.
Amen. So let's go to verse 3. And then verse 3.
Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. So who are the wise? Those who are wise will shine. Those that have been faithful to God. Amen.
Right.
Those that have been faithful and have endured persecution, those are the wise. Amen. Those who have remained righteous, who teach righteousness, those who have remained loyal. That's who the wise. That's who he's, you know, he's talking to. Satan are the wise. Amen. Can you withstand persecution? Can you stand under persecution? There's a lot of persecution going on right now. Amen. Can you stand under that? There's a lot of false teachings going on right now. Amen. Can you stand and be loyal to God? Can you stand and be faithful to His Word? What does the Word say? Those are the people who are the wise. Those are who He's saying. Those who are wise shall shine. Amen. How? To shine like the brightness of the firmament. That symbolizes glorification. Glorification and honor. You know that your body will be a glorified body. Amen?
Amen.
That is what is alluding to. So we have to stand. Persecution. You don't know what type of persecution is coming. You got to be so embedded in God that no matter what you see, you stand firm.
No fear.
No matter what you see with those you love, you have to stand firm. And God help us. God help us to stand firm. Amen? Amen. Verse 4. Let's read verse 4.
But Daniel shut up the words. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase.
Hmm. Okay, so shut up the words and seal the book. Hmm. Amen? Hallelujah. So God is telling, that's obvious, you know, what God is telling Daniel, amen? Right? He's telling him, seal the book. It's not for you. Seal the book and seal it when? Until the time of the end. Mm-hmm. At the time of the end, this book will open up. This prophecy will open up. Amen? Mm-hmm. This prophecy will be revealed. Amen? You know, so you're saying, what is he talking about? You know, Pastor Ruth, what is he really talking about? Well, mm-hmm. Let me say this. The Bible, as you know it, was not written in chapters. It wasn't written in chapters, amen, and verses. It was just written, and it was divided into chapters and verses by, I forgot his name, I believe it was during the 15th century or the 16th, okay? So this is a continuous prophecy. So if you read, from 1136, chapter 1136 to Daniel 12:3, you're going to see what God is telling us to seal up. And I'm not going to reread it, but you're going to see what the Lord is speaking to, or what the angel is speaking to, right? So if you look, if you go to chapter 1136 and read through Daniel 12:3, this is what you're going to see. You're going to see a world ruler utterly opposed to God. You're going to see a world war. Amen? You're going to see a world religion based on the abomination of desolation. You're going to see a time of great tribulation for Israel lasting 3.5 years. You're going to see the deliverance for the people of God after the tribulation. You're going to read about the resurrection and the judgment. This is all, when you read those, you're going to see this, amen? You're going to see this. And what you have to recognize that this was a dual prophecy, okay? This was a foreshadowing of events to come. Now, as I said before, Daniel received this prophecy around 535-534 B.C. This prophecy is speaking about Antiochus the Fourth. Remember we spoke about it? Antiochus the Fourth was king of Judea or king of Israel from 175 B.C. to 164. Under the Roman Empire. He was one of the descendants of Alexander the Great, that separation that took place. He was a future descendant, okay? So Antiochus the Fourth fulfilled part of this prophecy. If you remember, we had studied that he erected an altar to the god Zeus in the temple, and then he sacrificed a pig in the temple. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Jewish temple. So if you go back, this prophecy is about him, but not everything was fulfilled by him. So it alludes to the end times. So this is what the angel is saying, seal up the book. So I didn't want you to say, well, what book is he talking about in chapter 12? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Chapter 12 is just a division that men did. It's not how the word came forth. So when you look all the way back, you see what it is alluding to. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, seal up the book. Amen? But like I said, it was a foreshadow of the reign of the Antichrist and a foreshadow of what Antiochus the Fourth would do. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So that's what he wants him to seal up. Amen. Now read verse 5, somebody.
Okay. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. Can we keep going?
Yes, read 6, please.
Okay. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before their astonishing things are fulfilled?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, guys. Continue. I should have said you to read through 7. I am very sorry.
The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the rivers, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times and a half a time, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken. All these things will be completed.
Amen. 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 So here's Daniel, who has been receiving this prophecy, and you know, he's told, shut up, seal the book. And then he says he looks, and he sees what? Two angels. Two awesome angels, one at each end of the riverbank, amen, standing, amen, hallelujah. And then one swears in a solemn oath that the time of trouble will be 3.5 years. Because we know from studying prior prophecy that time and a half equals 3.5 years. Now, This is what the angel tells him, amen? And look at this. This angel, okay, swears. He solemn oath. He lifts his hands up, right? It says over here. Okay. He was above the waters, and when he held up his right, left hand, to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever. So it's solemn. It's write it down, it's truth. It's gonna be 3.5 years. Amen. For this time. Amen. 3.5 years. And look at this. It says the angels are each one on the end of the riverbanks, right? One on one side of the riverbank, the other on the other side. And then it says the angel who was above the waters. Mm-hmm. So, was he above the waters? Was he standing on the waters? This second angel wasn't only at the end of the riverbank. He wasn't standing, really. He was above. Which signifies the supernatural. Mm-hmm. The supernatural. Amen? He's above the waters. Amen? So, you know, it will be 3.5 years, amen? And when I can give you a lot of scriptures, so this is speaking of the Great Tribulation. You know, there's a tribulation and the Great Tribulation. You know, those 7 years are divided in half. And the Great Tribulation is the last 3.5 years. And it says when his people are totally broken, totally shattered, this is going to happen in the Second Tribulation. What do you read in the Second Tribulation, in the midpoint? What does the Antichrist do? He comes against the Jewish people, right? Mm-hmm. They have to flee because he... Somehow, whether it's a hologram, whether it's a statue, whatever it is, he poses himself in their temple and wants them to worship him. And what do the Jews know? What did God put in the Ten Commandments? You shall have no other gods before me.
Hallelujah, that's right.
You shall not worship any other gods.
That's right.
So they have to flee. They are broken. They are shattered. They have to run for their lives. Amen. That's what, and you know, I can give you, write these scriptures down and you can look them up. Amen. It's a list. I'm going to give you a quick list. Daniel 7:25.
Daniel 7:25.
Daniel 9:27.
Daniel 12:7.
Revelation 11:2. Revelation 11:3. Revelation 12:6 and 12:14.
12:6 and 12:14.
Revelation 13:5. If you take all these scriptures together, it points to the second half of the tribulation when these things will take place. Amen? It is, when, you know, in verse 7 that Hector read, like I said, it says, when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all things shall be finished. Amen. Ooh. God has to bring his people or the holy people to a point of repentance where they will recognize that he certainly was and is their Messiah. Then they will repent and God will forgive them. Not all of them, obviously. But many will repent, because he said that there's a remnant in Israel that will be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So they'll be completely crushed, but at the time of the end, the Messiah will show up, and they will trust them, and he will return to rescue them. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Read verse 8.
Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?
Amen. So now, Daniel here, imagine that you get a prophetic word, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't have a clue. He did not understand. I can imagine that he was saying, oh my God, what are you saying? What are you talking about? I can imagine that. Amen. And then, but he notices what? How terrible, how horrible, whatever's going to happen is going to be. Amen? So he asked God, when is this? Don't we always want to know when? We always want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, when is this? You told me this, and it hasn't happened. When?
That's right.
You know, we do, and especially about our children, right?
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
And everything that has to do with the ministry, when, Lord, when? But God has a time. God has a perfect time for everything. Mm-hmm. Amen? So, amen. He didn't understand, even though it was given to him firsthand. Amen? Hallelujah. But God wasn't about to tell him. Amen? What does he say in verse 9?
And he said...
And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end.
Amen. So, although the future was revealed to Daniel, it wasn't for his time. Because God said, go your way. And don't, what is it? Go your way. Don't worry about it. So, like you say to your children, never mind, go.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. In other words, don't worry about it. It has nothing to do with you. So God tells him that. It's not for your time. Don't worry about it. Basically, what he's telling him. And what I want you to see is that when I was researching it, I found that it says throughout the history of Christianity, God has had the church, the Christian church, focus on one area of doctrine during the course. Really focus on it. And if you study the history of the church, you'll find the different periods that the church went through. Amen? So here it is. What God is saying, you know, this is, again, this is not for your time. This is for the end time. He's not telling him that. But this is a doctrine that will be understood when? Now. Mm-hmm. Now. We understand this, don't we? This prophecy. Mm-hmm. We understand it, what it alludes to.
Yes.
So then we're in the end times. We may not see it. We, but our children or grandchildren, but we are in the end times. We can relate to these prophecies and the prophecies of Revelation. Amen? Where, you know, in Matthew 24, amen, we can relate to God. To that, amen? Let me not go off the deep end here. Verse 10.
Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand.
Amen. Amen. Many will be purified, white, and made white and refined, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that many will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ during the tribulation. Amen? But wickedness will abound, you know? This is a time led or reigned over by the Antichrist, who's reigned over by Satan. Reign, R-E-I-G-N. Reign, the king reigns. Amen? This is going to be a time of wickedness. Wickedness. Amen? And many will die because they have refused to worship him. Amen? And it says, you know, none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Amen? They won't understand. They will refuse. They will choose what they think is life under the Antichrist, whereas they don't know that they're choosing death. But the wise will understand. Amen. And I keep saying the wise. Remember, Christ is not, you know, the church is gone. The wise have to be those that you have spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Those that you have shared the gospel with. So never stop doing that. Amen. And verse 11.
And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days.
Amen. So, that, when is the abomination of desolation taken away? I mean, put into, amen, is set up. When is it? In the midpoint of the tribulation. Okay? So that tells you that from the midpoint of the trib, 1,290 days will follow. Amen. That's what it's telling me there. Okay. Now, read verse 12.
Well, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days.
What's this extra 45 days? You're reading it correctly. Amen. And I'm gonna get into that in a minute, okay? But we'll come back to that. And then 13, but you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Again, reiterating, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to be okay. You're going to die in peace. And one day you're going to be resurrected. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. And you will receive your inheritance because of your faithfulness. Now, I've seen this before, this different of days. And I've always said, what's going on? But let me tell you. So research, right? Mm-hmm. So in different scriptures, you have where it says the midpoint is 1260 days. The midpoint is 1260. Then there's 30 days leading up to the 1290. Then there is another 45 days leading up to the 1335 days. So all in all, we have a difference of 45 days. And this is what, after researching, this is what many theologians mm-hmm. believe. It's not set in stone because the word doesn't say it exactly. But this is what, mm-hmm. let me give you, I'm just going to read it to you. Amen? Sometime after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist enters into a treaty with Israel. This begins a seven-year tribulation. We know that, right? We know that the rapture, we're taken up and the tribulation begins, right? We know that from Scripture, the 7 years. Amen? We know that Israel will be at peace with its neighbors, blah, 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 and the tribulation begins. And then, and here it says that the midpoint of the tribulation is 1260 days later, the Antichrist breaks the treaty. So there's the 1260 days, right? And then it says the desecration of the temple takes place at this midpoint, 1260 days later. Am I clear or am I confusing you?
No.
The tribulation begins. 1260 days later, the Antichrist breaks the covenant he made with Israel. Remember that he makes a seven-year covenant back in Daniel somewhere? He makes a seven-year covenant with Israel. At the three-and-a-half-year point, he breaks the covenant. The scriptures are 1260 days. And then it says, the next 30 days leading up to the 1290 days, Israel is rebuilt and the earth is restored. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. So let me give it to you this way. So we have, how many days do we have all together? We have 75 days, right? Mm-hmm. 30 and 45. What I have read is that this is the time after the trib that it takes to restore governance of Christ over the nations, to organizational things will be done, or stuff organizational. So what I would suggest is that each of you do some research. I didn't have time for that, but I saw the difference in the days, and I was saying, what's going on here? Now, I can say this too. The Jewish calendar is different from our calendar. Okay? The Jewish calendar is based on 360 days. So I believe that's 1260 days, maybe, according to the Jewish calendar. What am I saying? You have a difference. I think it would help me very much if you would take the time to research it and get back to me. Okay, but there is a discrepancy, right? Because, it's not a discrepancy, it's just we don't know what it's about. Because he says, right after, let me get it. Okay. And from the time, verse 11, that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Okay? So from the midpoint, right? That's when the abomination of desolation, there's going to be 1,290 days. But in the beginning, it says, in the beginning of the tribulation, it says there will be 360 days. Mm. And it says midpoint. So we have a 30-day discrepancy there. Do you see that? Then at the end, it says, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. So from 1290 to 1335, there's 45 days. So we have to account. There's 30 days in the midpoint that we have to account for, and there's 45 days at the end that have to be accounted for. So here's my charge to you. Research it. See what the theologians say about it and get back to us. Amen? Amen. Amen. You guys are blessed.
Amen. Amen.